We continue with our series, Experiencing God. We have been, I don't know, 3 months now of starting. Well, we have been a few weeks, we have been reflecting upon this Bible study, Experiencing God. And we have been talking about how many realities? 7 realities. And we said that God, the first reality is that God is at work at all times. All the time, God is working. The second reality is that God pursues you and me. He wants to have a personal relationship with everyone, all his creation. And then the third reality is that he will invite you, me, or anybody at some point in our lives. And we have been studying the life of Moses. We have been reading a lot about Moses. And the fourth reality is that God will speak to you. How? Church, prayer, his word, circumstances. And when he speaks, it leads us into what? A crisis of belief. When we hear his voice, sometimes we wonder, no, that's not right. Crisis of belief. And then the sixth reality is that we need to adjust. We need to adjust to take it or to leave it. And the seventh reality is a reality only when we obey, experience God. And that cycle goes and goes and goes. And today I want to finish. God pursues a love relationship. This is reality number 2. So last Sunday we reflect about, you know, what is the meaning of loving God. But today we are going to finish. And because loving God is about being God-centered. It's not about knowledge. Knowledge is good. But it's about a decision that we can put God in the center of our lives, or we can continue being self-centered. That is all about. God-centered life is when God is the center. We obey him. He is everything. Self-centered life, they say, well, God, this is the way I am. You need to accept me as I am. That is the key here. And today I have a passage that we all know, maybe most of you, is a parable from the book of Luke chapter 19. I invite you to turn in your Bibles, Luke chapter 19 verses 1 to 10. I'm going to read the story of Zacchaeus. And here there is, my text this morning is Luke chapter 19 verse 10, but let me read this parable that most of us know. And there is something that we can learn about the love of God. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him. Then Jesus was coming that day. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back 4 times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house because this man, too, is a son of Abraham." Shall we read together verse 10? This is the text for this morning. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Let us pray. Father, we want to spend this half an hour or so around your word. And Father, we pray that may your Holy Spirit help us to receive something from you, Lord. We confess we are sinners and we ask forgiveness of our sins, and we confess that we need you. So this morning, Lord, we We pray that you can help us to receive what you have prepared for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The reality, the second reality, is about our relationship with God. God pursues you. God wants to be with you. It's a reality. God pursues you because he is faithful. Even when we let him down, he is there for you. And then we can see in the Bible that this is a reality. God pursues a continual love relationship with you that is real and personal. Now, we have all these pictures from Genesis to Revelation, but maybe sometimes we don't realize that that reality is there, even in the most famous song. What is the most famous song? Psalm 23. Isn't it? And now, the last verse of Psalm 23 says this: surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Perhaps you could say it, surely goodness. We sound that God is good. Do you believe that? God is good? God is good? All the time. Surely goodness and mercy pursues me all the days of my life. In the second part of this last verse of Psalm 23, it says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When we have that relationship with God, we are going to dwell in his house forever. Well, is there the reality that God pursues you? He follows you. Our faith is not about religion. It's about our relationship. In the life of Moses, we read. You know, I love reading Exodus and Leviticus. Because can you imagine? This is Moses was there. And God says to Moses, Moses, can we have a cup of tea together? And they spend time together. Beautiful, isn't it? That is the relationship that God wants to have with you, with me, with everyone. It's not about an empty words of a liturgy or religion. It's a relationship, a deep relationship. Now, many pictures in the Bible, we have picture of Christianity, cross. We talk about fish. Sometimes you can get into trouble when you have your fish in your car and you are driving fast, like I do sometimes. And, you know, but there is a symbol. The symbol of a good shepherd. In ancient tradition, that was the picture of God, of a good shepherd. And this morning, I'm going to talk about some pictures. Hopefully, we will be able to connect with this reality that God pursues a personal relationship with you. The symbol of a shepherd carrying a sheep on his shoulders. Eating well, you can see that picture. And but at least the sheep are around. Beautiful. But turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. The context of the verses that we read, Luke chapter 15. Let's go a little bit behind. And this is a wonderful chapter that we have three parables. I don't intend to talk about the three parables, but all of them related to this love from God. And Jesus is teaching in parables here. I'm going to read very quickly Luke chapter 15, verses 3 to 7, the first parable. The parable of what? Of the lost sheep. Now, verse 3 says, Luke chapter 15, verse 3 says, then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he called his friends and neighbors together and said, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents and over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. You get the picture? God pursues you. He will seek for you. He will be after you. You know, the application is that every person, he wants every person to be safe. Not every person to be a nice person, to be politically correct. No! He wants to save people. And he says here in the parable, Jesus said, well, he seeks for the lost, and his Holy Spirit convicts of sins and invites us to salvation. The good shepherd rejoices over one sinner, one person. Sometimes we have services in churches and she says, well, you know, there is no more. One person who hears and he or she was convicted, many people will walk away. But Jesus is there, the good shepherd. When you think about how God pursues you, we have this picture in Isaiah, you know, the picture of the Messiah. Isaiah 53. How the prophet, hundreds of years before Jesus came, he said, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we consider him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. And we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. It's not only a picture of us. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The good shepherd cared for you. The good shepherd wants to restore you. The good shepherd wants to look after you. He's seeking you. He wants you. He loves you unconditionally. Do you think you have ever let him down? You feel that you are beyond redemption? He pursues you with love. He wants to be with you for eternity. Now, the second parable here, we have another parable in the same chapter, Luke chapter 15, verses 8 to 10. Another short parable here talking about how God pursues me and you. Then we have this parable about the lost coin. Let me read three verses from Luke chapter 15, verses 8 to 10. And Jesus continues teaching. And he said, I'll suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I have found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Again, the picture of searching, pursuing. Now, it's interesting here that the coin was valuable to whom? To the woman. Now, she searched diligently, turning the whole place upside down until she found the coin. When she found, as the good shepherd, she's joyful. She wants to share her joy. The value she placed on the coin is reflected in the joy of finding it. So what is the application for us? Well, every person, is potentially valuable to God, but the value is potential only so long as one is lost. The coin must be found for the value to become real. I have to be found. Now, there is a problem with this word lost. There is always problems with words. Sometimes, you remember the reality crisis for some people is too strong. Other people say challenge, that's okay, but the word loss could be a problem. Oh, why you are preaching that? What is? Well, let's read again this verse, Luke chapter 19, verse 10. This is the key text here, the words of Jesus. Let's say, the Son of Man. Now, let me explain to you these words. But before I explain to you, because wow, this is, what are you talking about here? Well, Jericho, let me read what the commentary says. Jericho was a very wealthy and very important town. It lay in the Jordan Valley and commanded both the approach to Jerusalem there and the crossings of the river, which give access to the lands east of the Jordan. It had a great pond forest and world-famous balsam groves, which perfumed the air for miles around. That was a beautiful city. Now, the gardens of roses were known far and wide, You know how they call it? The City of Palms. That was Jericho. Now, there, the historians call this place a divine region, the fattest of Palestine. So there was, it was good business. So Zacchaeus was doing well, because Zacchaeus was a tax collector. All these things combined, he was wealthy. Perhaps he said, I am okay. But he was sad because he was lonely, for he had chosen a way that made him an outcast. Zacchaeus knew that he needed something. And he was determined. I want to see Jesus. I want to know about this man who received tax collectors, who received sinners. And we know this story. Zacchaeus, maybe he was short, and maybe somebody recognized Zacchaeus for being a greedy man, and he was going to see Jesus, and they pushed him down. Zacchaeus was determined. He climbed to this tree, and he was ready. He wanted to hear from Jesus. He wanted to hear what he can offer. And he received this wonderful invitation. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay with you in your house. And after he received the invitation from Jesus, he took steps to show all the community, I am changed. I am different. I am not the same. When Jesus says, I am staying with you, he said, well, Lord, I'm going to give the half of my money to the poor. And if I cheated, I'm going to restitute. You know what he did was beyond what the law says. When we read in the Old Testament, in the books of Leviticus chapter 6, verse 5, Numbers chapter 5, verse 7, it said if the robbery was deliberate and violent, then they have to restitute. But when somebody says, I did it, a voluntary restitution was requested, and only one-fifth. He says, I'm going to restitute four times. And this is a word for us as a Christians. People need to see that we are different. It's no empty words. He needs to see that we are different. If we are walking with Jesus, if we have a personal relationship with Jesus, a testimony is worthless unless it's backed with deeds that guarantee its sincerity. It's no mere words or liturgy. Jesus demands a changed life. And this word says, the Son of Man came to seek to save the lost. Now, as I told you before, the word is dangerous sometimes. Why you are preaching that? Well, let me tell you what William Barclay says. He says, we must always be careful how we take the meaning of this word lost. In the New Testament, it doesn't mean condemn, doom, damn. No. It simply means what? In the wrong place. So when Jesus, when read that word, is that, you know, like the coin, like the sheep, is lost because it's not in the right place. And when a person comes to Jesus, is lost and found because we are supposed to be children of God. You are not supposed to be in the place you are at the moment. Are you struggling? You feel that nobody loves you? You feel that there is no hope, you are in the wrong place. You are in the wrong place. For the Son of Man came to save what is lost. God put on flesh and stepped into the world himself as a sacrifice for you. You know why? Because I cannot get to heaven because I am good. I cannot get to heaven because I am a religious person. I cannot get to heaven because I am a good citizen. You cannot do that. You know why? Because sin is there, and there is a huge gap that I cannot fill it. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, shall we say? And we sing every day. Do you sing every day? I do. The moment I think something wrong, it's a sin. The moment I say something But I can say something wrong in English sometimes because it's not my first language, okay? So that's different, okay? But when I say something that's going to hurt somebody, sorry, sing. But this Jesus, the Messiah, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we consider him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgression. He paid my guilt. If in his mercy you and I can stand before his presence, it's not because what I do or you do. It's because what Jesus did on that cross, and that's what we do here, to remember what he did. My friends, there is a God pursues you, but the ball is in your court. And the words of C.S. Lewis say it nicely. He says, the happiness which God designs for you, for his higher creatures, is the happiness of being freely, voluntarily united to him and to each other in an ecstasy of love and delight. God is an aggressive pursuer of man, but never at the expense of the freedom that we have to say no. My friend, until your last breath, God will pursue you. Until your last breath. I heard the story of a friend who was a chaplain, and there was an accident. And there was a body on the floor, and he runs to this, and he said, I felt that prompting that person needed me, but I knew that he was in such a state. And he goes and took him, and he says, who are you? He said, I am a minister, but I am a chaplain as well. I'm going to the hospital. Oh. I asked my Lord to forgive me. And he surrendered his life to Jesus in that moment. And he said, that was the most wonderful time, the most wonderful experience in my life. My friend, we don't have to wait to that moment. But God pursues you until your last breath. Are you going to accept him like Zacchaeus? Are you going to follow him? Are you going to obey him? May the Lord help us to remember that Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, came to seek and to save the lost. Please do not wait. Come to him. God has not given up on you. He loves you. And he wants you to be his child. Let us pray. Let us pray. Oh, Father, thank you for that wonderful, wonderful picture of a good shepherd. Thank you that you came for us, to die for us. Thank you for the picture of that woman looking for that coin. The picture of you pursuing us, chasing us, waiting for us to be found. And I pray, Lord, for that person that perhaps is in the wrong place. Maybe they are there because bad company. Maybe some are lost in the wrong place, like a sheep who misses the way. Some maybe by life circumstances are misplaced. Or maybe others, like Zacchaeus, wanted money more than he wanted friends. Oh, Father, help us to receive your invitation and to come, knowing that goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. And when we do that, we will dwell in your house forever, Lord. So, Father, be with us as we come around your table this morning. And help us to receive your blessings, because we come in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.